VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Yes, we're having a Friday news roundup today, and we thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of stories to unpack. Sandy's got them all readied for us here. We've got Cheryl on the phones today, Dennis in the control room, and so glad you have joined us here today for the broadcast. And as we begin, we certainly would like to welcome brand new listeners to Crosstalk over 104.7 FM, La Mesa, Texas, serving Midland and Odessa. Welcome here to Crosstalk as we gather together every weekday afternoon at the same time to talk about the issues and to certainly to make you aware of issues that are going on, issues to help understand the times in which we live and certainly to help equip us to be salt and to be light, the necessity of our sharing the good news of the gospel in such a time as this. Well, friends, perhaps the number one issue this very week has been that of abortion. We had Julaine Appling with us from Wisconsin Family Action earlier this week as they were firebombed at their site on behalf of, well, those who indicated that if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. And certainly with these issues continue to go on. Looking at LifeNews.com, Senate Republicans, with the help of Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, voted to defeat a Democrat bill that would overturn every pro-life law in America and legalize abortions up to birth. Although Americans are in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade and 11 recent polls show that Americans are pro-life on abortion, Democrats pushed the radical bill anyway. Lawmakers voted 49 to 51. The filibuster against the radical pro-abortion legislation was sustained and the bill defeated. 60 votes were necessary to move ahead to vote on the bill. Here's we're going to take a look at what Joe Manchin had to say as it relates to this legislation.
The bill we have today to vote on, the Women's Health Protection Act, and I respect people who support, but don't make no mistake, it is not Roe v. Wade codification. It's an expansion. It wipes 500 state laws off the books. It expands abortion. And with that, that's not where we are today. We should not be dividing this country further than we're already divided. And it's really the politics of Congress that's dividing the country. It's not the people. They're telling us what they want. And it's just disappointing that we're going to be voting on a piece of legislation, which I will not vote for today.
Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. A matter of fact, this bill, had they passed it, it eliminates all state and federal parental consent laws in relation to abortion. It eliminates all state informed consent laws, including those that allow women to view an ultrasound prior to abortion. It prevents states from passing laws to protect babies at 20 weeks, therefore joining countries like North Korea, Communist China, Vietnam, Singapore, Canada, and the Netherlands, who are advocates of euthanasia as well, and not protecting unborn children later in development. It would also force doctors and nurses opposed to abortion to lose their jobs, and Catholic hospitals could lose public funds unless they perform abortion. And folks, it is amazing the lengths at which they're trying to go and what they are pushing. It is barbaric here in our land. Matter of fact, during a fundraising trip to top Democratic donors on Wednesday, LifeNews.com reports that Joe Biden slammed the brutality of the Supreme Court's draft ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, but ignored the brutality of how babies are dismembered in abortion. He told the crowd, if this draft opinion of the Supreme Court turns out to be the opinion of the Supreme Court, it is everything that some of us talked about before. He bragged about how he led the fight to stop Robert Bork, who could have been an earlier vote to overturn Roe years ago and protect millions of babies from abortions. And then he went on to discuss the brutality of the draft opinion. He said, quote, what we're talking about here, it's not only the brutality of taking away a woman's right to control her own body and all the damage that does physically, psychologically, practically, Biden said. It also, if you read the opinion, if it turns out to be the same opinion basically says there's no such thing as a right to privacy. He talks about the brutality of the Supreme Court decision. Now, friends, if you've got young ears listening, perhaps you want to get them involved in something else right now. Because I'm going to take us back about 6.5 to 7 years ago, when Dr. Anthony Levitino, he was an obstetrician gynecologist who said he had performed over 1,200 abortions. He testified in a House Judiciary Committee hearing on Planned Parenthood's medical procedures. And he described in detail the excruciating details of the abortion of a 22-week-old baby. And I want you to hear what he said in that congressional testimony. And if you want to hear about brutality, here it is.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head on the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you have a pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times. Sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
Friends, absolutely disgusting. And that's what brutality is, Mr. President. It's not that the Supreme Court is turning this issue back to the states. That's not brutality. What Dr. Levitino just described is brutality. LifeNews.com tells us Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Alito has been taken to a secure location to protect him and his family in the wake of the pro-abortion violence, extreme violence, folks, over the weekend. Americans are in favor of overturning Roe. 11 recent polls show that. Abortion activists have engaged in violence, vandalism, heated protests in response to this leaked draft from the U.S. Supreme Court. That's no accident. They hope to somehow persuade one or more Supreme Court justices to change their mind. New reports show that the Supreme Court majority to overturn Roe had reportedly not changed despite the leak of the draft of the opinion last week and the pro-abortion violence and protest in the days following. Well, the protest outside the houses of the Supreme Court justices comes as it's continued to be encouraged by the White House. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, on her way out now, said Tuesday that Joe Biden is perfectly fine with radical abortion advocates breaking federal law to protest outside the homes of Supreme Court justices.
So I know that there's an outrage right now, I guess, about protests that have been peaceful to date, and we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position.
We continue to encourage that outside the homes of justices? That's the president's opinion? Let's go to the U.S. Code on picketing or parading. Whoever with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice— or with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the U.S. or near a building or residence occupied by or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence shall be fined under the title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Nothing in this section shall interfere with the, or prevent the exercise by any court of the U.S. of its power to punish for contempt. And this is what Jen Psaki and President Joe Biden are encouraging the American people to continue to do? Lawlessness, folks. Day after day after day, we talk about the lawlessness, and it's being promoted in the highest offices of our land. That is a federal statute from the 18 U.S. Code, Section 1507, on picketing or parading. From Channel3000.com, a group claiming to be responsible for the arson and graffiti at the office of Wisconsin Family Action issued a warning Tuesday saying similar attacks could be coming across the country. According to a report from Bellingcat reporter Robert Evans, the group known as Jane's Revenge demanded that the disbanding of all anti-choice groups, fake clinics, and violent anti-choice groups within the next 30 days. Bellingcat is an international investigative journalist organization. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot added fuel to the fire of emotion raging over the Supreme Court by issuing a call to arms to avert an attack on the LGBT population, reports Western Journal, saying, quote, "To my friends in the LGBTQ plus community, the Supreme Court is coming for us next. This moment has to be a call to arms," said the mayor, who is a lesbian. "We will not surrender our rights without a fight. A fight to victory," she said. Isn't that interesting? As we see these flames being fanned by politicians, mayors, presidents, press secretaries. But January 6th, no, there's talk about imprisoning people there for life. Even though somebody opened the doors, a number of officers allowing people just to walk on in, take pictures, whatever it was. LifeNews.com tells us a majority of Americans support abortion policies that would not be possible under Roe v. Wade. This is a survey by Rasmussen and RMG Research. Despite spin from the White House, a survey of 1,200 registered voters released Thursday found that 65% wanted abortion laws to be decided by voters and their elected representatives. 18% wanted judges and courts to decide, and 17% were unsure. See, folks, this does not outlaw abortion, the decision coming forth from the Supreme Court. Rather, if there is a reversal of Roe v. Wade, it just takes it back to the states. Some states are working right now to become a haven for killing the unborn. Others are going to have protection for the unborn. Matter of fact, coming to us from Matt Staver at Liberty Council, Republicans Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski voted against Schumer's bill, but they have co-sponsored their own bill that codifies abortion. Collins, Murkowski, and Kirsten Sinema of Arizona, they are pro-abortion, and they say they oppose abolishing the 60-day filibuster. If just two of them change their votes to pass abolishing the filibuster in order to pass an abortion bill, then not only will every state be forced to continue abortion, but every other radical bill could be slammed through the Senate. Schumer has three abortion bills lined up to replace the one that failed. He will try all tricks to federalize abortion. He could add abortion to the upcoming budget reconciliation process that only needs 51 votes, or use unanimous consent where a few Democrats in the wee hours in the morning vote following a budget bill that only requires 51 votes when Republicans have left the floor, but before the Senate is gaveled out, or employ the so-called nuclear option to destroy the filibuster. Folks, don't stop praying. I mean, the precious lives of these unborn children are at stake. Brutality is awaiting them. It must be stopped. More on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have you ever seen drawings of dinosaur-like creatures on rock walls left by the Indians?
Yes, Chris, I have seen them, and they are amazing. People from every continent have drawn pictures and fashioned art objects after the likeness of dinosaurs. These predate our modern discovery of dinosaur fossils, proof that man and dinosaur lived together. Evolutionists, of course, dismiss these as fanciful dream tales. They believe that the amazing dinosaurs, with all their internal complexity and the DNA code, could evolve by chance random processes. Maybe it's easier to think that wind and water erosion produced these dinosaur pictographs on the rocks. I'm being fanciful, of course. but at least the Back to Genesis viewpoint is consistent within itself.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
It's a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk today here on VCY America, and we continue with a story from LifeNews.com. Another Catholic church in Michigan vandalized last week after the SCOTUS leak. Tennessee Star reports someone spray-painted vulgar phrases and satanic symbols all over St. Joseph's Church and Academy in Armada, Michigan, that's near Detroit. Photo shared by Idaho radio host Dave Riley on Twitter showed purple spray paint on a sign, doors, columns, and windows of the church and parish school, including mob dead, suicide, death to Republicans, and other phrases too vulgar to print. Satanic symbols, including 666, an upside-down cross, and a pentagram, also painted on several doors. St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in New York City has received several bomb threats and arson threats since the leak, as have other churches as well. And, of course, police are investigating the arson at two pro-life organizations in Wisconsin and Oregon. Wisconsin Family Action, which we spoke with earlier. Vandalism at several pro-life pregnancy centers as well. Matter of fact, from LifeSiteNews.com, we learned that the offices of Oregon Right to Life attacked late Sunday night, Mother's Day night, with incendiary devices, resulting in a small fire. Also, we have... From the Daily Signal, a vandal or vandals painted pro-abortion graffiti on a pro-life pregnancy center over the weekend in Northern Virginia. Employees of the First Care Women's Health in Manassas discovered the graffiti as they entered the building Monday morning. Someone painted liars on the door to the building and the words abortion is a right and fake clinic on the facade. Looking at Israel 365, the Satanic Temple said that his followers should be granted religious exemptions to perform religious abortion rituals in states that have placed hurdles to the controversial medical procedure, reported Fox News. The Satanic Temple said they were committed to safeguarding religious abortion access for its adherents. Yeah, child sacrifice. Isn't that what they did for their god Molech? Child sacrifice? The religious organization said they're filing a lawsuit under the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Aren't we warned about that in the Gospel of John, where the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? I'm so thankful that Jesus said, "But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." LifeNews.com telling us also that when Roe falls, a new bill would make Missouri one of the new states to protect babies from abortion, as they're advancing that in that state. Life News also reports about 1:08 p.m. on Tuesday, pro-lifers reported seeing a woman transported by ambulance from the Little Rock Family Planning Services in Arkansas. Why aren't they making this front page news? The only surgical abortion facility. Photos and video footage of the incident show what appears to be abortion facility staff and volunteers escorting a woman from the facility to an ambulance waiting outside. They show the footage, and what's interesting about this footage is that the abortion clinic staff are holding a sheet and an umbrella, this large umbrella, to hide the cameras from seeing the person carried out on a gurney. You know, is this a botched abortion so they're not going to be held accountable? Nothing to see here, folks. No, they have to hide their shame. Empower Wisconsin tells us that Capitol Police in Madison, Wisconsin, expecting tens of thousands of protesters on the Capitol Square this weekend at multiple rallies across the or against the potential demise of Roe v. Wade. Lieutenant Christopher Litzkow of the Capitol Police Specialized Service Unit sent the Assembly Sergeant at Arms an advisory Tuesday about 3 days of demonstrations planned. Folks, this is horrendous. A story that came from CNSNews.com. Among the jurisdictions that reported their abortion numbers to the CDC for its latest annual abortion surveillance report, Washington, D.C. led with the highest number of abortions, 501 babies killed for every 1,000 live births. Can you grasp that number? 501 babies killed by means of abortion for every 1,000 live births. Life News telling us also that pro-life Texans celebrated Sunday as they marked the 250th day since the historic Texas heartbeat bill. Pro-life leaders believe as many as 20,000 unborn babies have been saved from abortions since September as Texans work not only to end abortion, but also to support mothers and babies in need. Got some other issues going on as well. From WesternJournal.com, Elon Musk kicked off a frantic Friday the 13th for the tech and business worlds by announcing that his deal to acquire social media giant Twitter was being held up. Twitter deal temporarily on hold pending details surrounding or rather supporting calculation that spam and fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users, the billionaire tweeted. Still committed to acquisition, he retweeted, and he said if he were to acquire Twitter, one of his priorities would be to wipe out fake accounts or spam bots, according to Reuters. From the New American, left-wing mega donor George Soros has injected $1 million into the Georgia governor's race in support of Democrat Stacey Abrams' second attempt at the office. Specifically, the donation came from Soros' Democracy PAC 2, a federal committee that itself received some $125 million from the Hungarian-born financier. The PAC then gives the $1 million to the pro-Abrams One Georgia Inc. on March 11th. In April, a federal judge ruled that One Georgia Inc. must suspend its activities until Abrams wins the Democratic nomination at the end of May, per the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Due to its suspension, One Georgia does not appear in the state records, although Abrams' team has not publicly announced the existence of One Georgia. Soros' federal disclosures show that the group shares an Atlanta address with Abrams' gubernatorial campaign committee. In addition, the committee received a cash infusion from Democratic Governors Association Georgia and another Abrams-connected entity. CNSNews.com, in another blow to the U.S. economy, prices at the pump soared to fresh record highs. National average price for regular gas climbed on Tuesday to $4.37 a gallon, taking out the prior record of $4.33. California, the average price for gas, $5.84. But, friends, this is just beyond belief. The Daily Signal, I've seen this on several sources, the Biden administration has canceled all three remaining offshore oil and gas lease sales late Wednesday. Gasoline prices hit an all-time high, and he is canceling leases. With the cancellations, there are no more federal offshore oil and gas lease sales that are scheduled. Unfortunately, this is becoming a pattern. The administration talks about the need for more supply and then acts to restrict it, said Frank Macciarella, the American Petroleum Institute's senior vice president. Yeah. He said it's becoming a pattern. The administration talks about the need for more supply and acts to restrict it. From not to be, was anyone aware that the largest baby formula plant in the U.S. has been shut down for 3 months? Biden administration is not allowing it to open back up. In mid-February, Abbott Laboratories issued a nationwide baby formula recall and ceased operations at its plant in Sturgis, Michigan, amid reports of babies contracting bacterial infections from the products. An Abbott spokesman told DailyMail.com Tuesday that through investigation by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, an Abbott revealed infant formula produced at our Sturgis facility is not the likely source of infection in the reported cases, and that there was not an outbreak caused by products from the facility. However, despite the findings of the investigation, the plant remained shuttered nearly 3 months later, fueling the nationwide baby formula shortage. The FDA, which said it found food safety violations at the plant, as well as five strains of Chronobacter, a bacteria that can cause blood infections and meningitis, has refused to say when the plant can resume operations. Washington Examiner telling us that the nationwide shortage of baby formula has sent mothers desperately rushing from store to store has evaded one lucky group, illegal immigrants. Yeah, illegal immigrants detained by Border Patrol, they report. According to videos posted by a Florida lawmaker, the Biden administration has been shipping pallets of baby formula to migrant holding facilities. They are sending pallets of baby formula to the border, said Republican Representative Kat Kamak. In one of the two online postings yesterday, meanwhile, in our own district at home, we cannot find baby formula, she added, holding a photo of empty shelves where the formula would be. She said that a border agent sent her photographs of the deliveries, and she posted that online. Amazing. Reuters reports that Abbott Laboratories said on Wednesday it could restart its production of infant formula at its Michigan facility within 2 weeks. Once production is resumed, it will take 6 to 8 weeks before the product returns to shelves. The FDA said it's working with manufacturers to alleviate the supply issues. Maybe we just had to put the trucks in reverse that are hauling it down to the border and sending it back to stores across the nation. From WND.com, at school board elections in Texas County, 13 candidates ran on the theme of transparency, no CRT, no mask, the revolt of the mama bears protesting COVID policies, critical race theory, and other far-left ideologies in schools was evident in four districts in the Fort Worth, Texas area over last weekend. All 13 candidates backed by conservative political action committees won their races Saturday, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported. The blog Red State said the Texas elections teaches several lessons. First, if normal parents organize, they are a formidable force. Too often, we parents are too caught up in our lives to pay much attention to school board candidates. If you care about your kids and the country, pay attention, they said. Secondly, Republicans must abandon the idea that school board elections are nonpartisan. The left will put forward its candidates to carry out its agenda. Lastly, they report school board elections are critical if we are to preserve our republic, the Red State blogger wrote. Oh, let's go to faithwire.com. Interesting news for our time. For anyone wondering just how pervasive occult practices are becoming in mainstream culture, look no further than McDonald's. McDonald's most recent marketing ploy, which involved, among meal deals, the chance to win tarot card readings. The lead of a USA Today story covering McDonald's ploy reads, quote, McDonald's is preparing for this week's celestial and astrological change of Mercury retrograde with both a deal and tarot card readings. In an unfortunate infusion of occultism, customers using the McDonald's app to buy a medium order of fries were given a free McDouble or McChicken and the chance to snag a tarot card reading. McDonald's reportedly partnered with Madam Adam, a tarot card reader with expertise in astrology, to offer readings to select customers to win. Customers reportedly needed to go to Madam Adam's Instagram or TikTok post to share their zodiac sign and their name. According to a statement from McDonald's, Adam planned to randomly select a lucky few to receive custom readings during the live stream, which unfolded this week. So some of you said, not McDonald's, so I'm going to go to Taco Bell. Well, here we go. Here we go. From WND.com and the Western Journal, according to the Washington Times, Taco Bell has launched a drag brunch tour that will take its way to five cities across America. The tour featuring drag queens performing at the various Taco Bell cantina locations. Customers can purchase a new $5 breakfast box, Cinnabon Delights, and Mimosas during the events. According to the news release on Taco Bell's website, each drag brunch will be hosted by professional cross-dresser Kay Sadia. Local drag queens will also perform in each city. The first event of the tour was held last Sunday in Las Vegas. And I'm looking right here from the TacoBell.com website. The headline, Taco Bell slays the breakfast game with drag brunch tour across the U.S., as a brand that brings people together, they say the Taco Bell drag brunch experience is rooted in celebrating of the LGBTQIA+ community and creating a safe and welcoming spaces for all. They started last weekend in Las Vegas, going to Chicago, Nashville, New York, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Friends, if you wish to reach out to Taco Bell, their corporate office number is 1-800-822-6235. 800-822-6235. I've got a few more stories I want to cover after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a News Roundup Friday. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Friends, we're living in troublesome times. I mean, we could go on for hours as to all that's going on. Now, again, do not lose hope. God is in control. And his plan is going to come to its intended end. It's going to come to fruition. What God has ordained will indeed come to pass. And so our eyes need to stay firmly on the Lord, even in such troublesome times in which we live. Even as he told young Timothy, the Apostle Paul, told him that about the perilous times. And then he said, remember the things that you were taught, you know, from your youth. And a reminder that Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then we need to proclaim the Word of God. Folks, that's the answer for these troubling times in which we live. So go on being faithful. Don't go lock yourself in a closet here. It's time to let your light shine. Taking a look at some more news that is going on today. This just came coming out from the Nigeria report today. A Nigerian Christian student was murdered on her university campus yesterday by a mob of Muslim students who accused her of blaspheming Islam. Remember the peaceful religion? The murdered woman, Deborah Samuel Yakubu. Two videos posted online show the aftermath of the killing. In one, a half dozen men beat her lifeless body with sticks while they shout, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is greater. And folks, I'm here to say, no, he is not. Our God is greater. Jehovah God is greater. A second video shows her body burning while her killers boast about killing her. According to multiple sources, on Wednesday, May 11th, Deborah sent a message to a student WhatsApp group asking people not to post religious messages to the group. A rumor circulated, listen to that, a rumor circulated that she had insulted Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, they say. The next day, she was killed. Islam, a religion of peace? No, folks, I saw another story today where students were saying that that the Quran commands them to kill the Jews. Kill the infidel. That's Christians and Jews. CBN News reporting during a recent speech to schoolgirls in Tehran, a top Iranian leader told nine-year-old girls, think of that. Do you have a nine-year-old girl at home listening, living with you and a nine-year-old daughter or granddaughter? In a recent speech to schoolgirls in Tehran, a top Iranian leader told nine-year-old girls to begin planning now to start a family in order to raise the next generation to be like the martyr Soleimani. Soleimani was considered the top terrorist general for the radical Islamic regime in Tehran, plotting violent attacks on American forces and U.S. allies across the Middle East. As CBN News had reported, according to Islamic Sharia, kids, especially girls, can marry as young as the age of nine. Children are being exploited for profit. According to Iranian human rights groups, children in Iran are facing intense child labor, physical abuse, child trafficking, and forced marriages. WND.com reporting that nuclear experts long have warned of the threat of a electromagnetic pulse nuclear attack that could shut down the U.S. electrical grid. Now there's new evidence that the Islamic regime is preparing for such an attack by hardening its critical infrastructure in preparation for a military response from the U.S. In an EMP attack, a small nuclear weapon delivered on a satellite is exploded at high altitude, resulting in a burst of electromagnetic energy that could cause a nationwide blackout of the electric power grid that could last as long as a year, they report. While nuclear experts believe Iran does not have the capacity to strike the U.S. with a traditional nuclear-tipped missile, its intent is to carry out an EMP attack, maybe reflected in their efforts to protect at least some of their critical infrastructure, according to a report by Peter Vincent Pry, the executive director of the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. Let me share also here today a story coming out from WND.com. Federal government in Silicon Valley are looking to clamp down on your freedom of movement. Your ability to move about as you please does not fit within their goals for the future of the world. Automotive-related freedoms, including access to fuel, allow us to be free to move without the permission of Silicon Valley, the Silicon Valley, and the federal government. Biden recently signed into law a requirement that all vehicles produced after 2026 be fitted with a remote kill switch. Electric vehicles are already equipped with this capability via internet-connected superchargers. These corporations can sell you a product for tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, then prevent you from using them. Worse yet, if the law is not challenged or repealed, these kill switches will have a back door that allows government agencies to shut your vehicle off remotely as well. Also coming from WND.com, about 3 weeks ago in Ashburn, Virginia, there was an electric vehicle charging malfunction that started a fire in a garage, caused more than $15,000 in damages. That was not the only fire sparked by an electric vehicle. In Damascus, Maryland, April 1st, a fire started from an electric car charger in a garage, caused some $350,000 in damages. 4 days later in Bethesda, Maryland, a scooter overheated while charging and started a fire in an apartment, WTOP reported. In and of itself, these are not terribly remarkable events. The damages are unfortunate but not catastrophic. But when looking at the broader picture of the problem tied to electric vehicles, it really is worth noting. Another issue here. WND.com, just as Americans get used to life without masks and shutdowns and other restrictions, the White House is warning that the fall season, in which the midterm elections will take place, could see up to 100 million new COVID infections. In response, according to Biden COVID response coordinator, the administration is asking Congress to approve another $22.5 billion in emergency aid to pay for a fourth round of shots as well as treatment and tests. However, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky has acknowledged that 95% of Americans have protection due to vaccination and natural immunity, and the projection of 100 million is based on a range of models. I wonder if they're the same models that are warning of global climate change and the sky falling here within the next several years. From a national conservative, interesting story regarding Walgreens publishing their data on their COVID-19 test. When people take the test, they are asked about vaccination status. And both of the last two updates, the unvaccinated tested positive at the lowest rate. Can I repeat that? The unvaccinated tested positive at the lowest rate. People with three doses tested positive at the highest rate. The rates of COVID positivity from April 27th to May 3rd. Not vaccinated, positivity rate of 16.3%. Those who had one dose, 21.5%. Those who had two doses greater than 5 months ago, 26.7%. Those with two doses less than 5 months ago, 20.2%. Those who had three doses greater than 5 months, 30.1% positivity rate. And three doses less than 5 months ago, 20.8%. Again, those not vaccinated had a less positivity rate than every other one of those categories. Children's Health Defense reporting U.S. Food and Drug Administration top vaccine official told a congressional committee on Friday that COVID-19 vaccines for children under six will not have to meet the agency's 50% efficacy threshold required to obtain emergency use authorization. The FDA is reviewing data from Moderna's two-shot vaccine for infants and toddlers 6 months to 2 years and for children 2 to 6. The agency awaiting data on Pfizer and BioNTech's three-dose regimen for children under 5 after two doses of the pediatric vaccine failed to trigger an immune response in 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds comparable to the response generated in teens and adults. And also coming from the Daily Signal, students that were forced into remote learning due to school closures experienced significant learning loss that hurt poor and minority students the most, according to a study conducted by a researcher at Harvard Center for Education Policy Research. Friends, the clock is moving here, and I'm going to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Let's pick up a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The nation's drug overdose epidemic worsened in 2021 as deaths surpassed 100,000 in the second year of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC's National Center for Health Statistics figures released Wednesday shows a record 107,622 drug overdose deaths in 2021. It's a 14.9% increase from the 93,655 overdose deaths from the year before. Though the numbers are subject to change as medical examiners finish death investigations and report all cases nationwide, experts say that the figures underscore the powerfully and dangerous reach of predominantly illicit drugs and drug combinations. And folks, you know where those are coming through? They're coming through our southern border. Our southern border that has just been a haven for these illegal drugs to get across the border. And what are we doing pertaining to it? Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, our phone number, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Alice in Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. There's more than one scripture that's coming to my mind. One is, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The reason I say this is, I don't know how many centuries ago, because this was the setting. I understand, in a makeshift hospital, a man lay dying, or at least lying in what kind of a bed they had then, and he screams out, get them off of me, get them off of me. Well, a nurse comes in, looks at the man, and says, like, there's nothing on you. Like, get what off from you? He said, all these dead babies. They are smothering me. God is not mocked. The other thing, oh, you know, this is one of the most horrible, horrible news roundups I think you've ever had to give. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking.
But there's something else I'd like to say. I believe it says in Romans 1 that they are lovers of pleasure. Now, I didn't say sinful pleasure. It's more. Oh, he got me off.
Hello? Okay. Well, Alice just walked away from the phone there. So very interesting, friends. But indeed, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do we not see that? We've got, let's see, Jerry in Whitewater. Jerry, you're on the air.
Yeah, Sam, just, you know, I'm not giving up on the Lord, of course. I don't mean this to indicate that in any way, shape, or form. But that gal that had her baby ripped apart by this tool that took arms and legs and everything off. And the Bible says in Psalms 91:10-16, no harm will come to you, no sickness will come near you, your house. He will put his angels in charge over you to protect you in all your ways. You got to get somebody on, a very good, strong pastor that can talk about this. Why is God allowing this? It almost sounds like God says he will protect us, and then he doesn't.
Oh, God is.
We know he does, but we need to understand this because it's very frustrating right now.
It is. Jerry, we're living in a sinful, fallen world. We're living in a fallen world, and right now sin is taking us to its end. And we see in Scripture even God's judgment where God gave them over. And we see very, very horrible things taking place. And we see even that what's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, there are those who have been martyred or killed for their faith. But that is not the whole picture of what life is. And so we also have to keep in mind that which is forthcoming as well. But there is going to come a time when God will say, that's enough. Right now, I believe we see God giving us over. God is giving us over to this reprobate mind. God has given us over to uncleanness. He's allowing, judgment is taking place even right now. But there's a greater judgment yet to come. We need to keep our eyes indeed on the Lord. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I have spent several years researching the topic of brainwashing, literally 30 years. And I have studied, among other things, the brainwashing of the American POWs during the Korean War. What I have found by studying the research provided by our own government and the doctors that interviewed the men that came home, the communists used a three-pronged approach. Formal education, a formal communist education, self-criticism and criticism of America, and three, censorship of reality and truth. All three of these are happening in America today. Our kids are getting a formal communist education in rows, sitting in classrooms, lined up. They're taught to criticize the free market system, their own Christian values, to consider themselves racist and haters and having white privilege. And then the censorship of reality or truth. What is real truth? The communists are doing in America what they did to our POWs in the Korean War.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's a news roundup day here today. And just apologize to stations for a technical glitch that happened in studio here, but we're continuing to take your calls here. And our number 800-733-9829. Let's go to Greenfield, Wisconsin. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes. My scripture, I would say, would be the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm looking at this thing like, okay, we have our children over here. So you mean we're going to take away from the mouths of our babies over here and send it to other people who are not even citizens of our own country? You know what I mean? So we're supposed to just let our babies starve to death?
Okay, interesting. Thank you for the question, Robert. Many are asking that very thing. Shelley in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I don't want Jesus to ask me one day what I did to stand up against this, and that we as Christians need to speak up, resist, and pray. I think many Christians are unaware of what they need to pray for. I think maybe some of them just don't want to see what's going on, and many of them don't hear about it in their churches. And it's not being political. It's the truth. We need to stand together and pray. There's strength in prayer.
Indeed, there is. Thank you, Shelley. Kelly in Clarksburg, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a third-grade teacher at a very large elementary school here. And I'm also a reading specialist, and I did a good deal of work in that for many years. But I would just like to speak to the issue of the students that came to me this year. And our opening diagnostic for the beginning of the year showed that I had no students scoring anywhere near the second grade, end of second grade level, which would let me begin teaching on the third grade level as I usually do. As a matter of fact, I had more than 15 students who were on the kindergarten level on their diagnostic.
My.
And I have been working tooth and nail to try to get these students caught up before they move on from my class. And I think it's been a travesty. And I think the only thing left to happen, Dawson, is that the students are, all the education system is going to declare its failure, and it is going to need that great reset. And that is what I really hate to see happen. But
yeah.
I'm just chiming in so that you have a valid, a voice from the classroom of the public school system in this day and age. So,
thank you, Kelly, for the call here today.
Yes.
Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I wanted to comment about Ukraine and the $40 billion that our government is going to be sending them. You know, the media today, if you take the issue of Roe v. Wade or climate change or January 6th, you and I know exactly where the mainstream media will be on these subjects. We are getting fed a certain line about Ukraine, and we are not being told the whole story. And I think people need to start understanding that the mainstream media has an agenda with Ukraine, and rather than pressuring European countries into stepping forward, our government is stepping forward.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing for us to stand alone in this, on this subject.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom, for raising that. Yeah, there's much in that story that must be told. Thank you for the call. Marianne in Idaho, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I agree with so much that so many of the listeners are talking about. The one listener who was talking about, you know, God leaving us alone, God's not leaving us alone. He is holding us in the crook of his arms. Revelation tells us that God will release four winds and allow Satan to run his wicked ways. Have to see the fullness of sin as it is. And I would encourage anyone to get a hold of this wonderful book, read the last eight chapters. It's called The Great Controversy, The Storm is Coming by Ellen G. White. It just you know, with all that you've been sharing.
Yeah,
thank
you for that. But Ellen G. White does represent a gospel that is another gospel, according to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So that is not something that I would encourage people to be reading. Greg is calling from Bloomington, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Jim. Gentleman just said that we're not being told the entire story about the Ukraine situation with Russia. He's absolutely right, in my opinion. There's even evidence that sometimes the Ukrainian military is actually shooting at their own people. So we're not being told a story. There's no doubt in my mind that we are being set up. The Biden administration is determined to do their best to destroy America. And people need to wake up. We need to be in strong prayer that our country, the folks in our country, receive revival and that they turn to Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for your comments. Nathan from Mauston, you're on the air, Nathan.
Hi, this is Mason. I wanted to say, no, America is not doing enough in Ukraine, because if you remember a few years back, the United States guaranteed the safety of Ukraine if it gave up. I believe it was thousands of nuclear weapons when the government, you know, when they came away from the Soviet Union. And our American government said if they gave up all those nuclear weapons, that America would protect them. And we're not protecting them. We need to go as far as put boots on the ground. I'm sorry. You know, they could be protecting themselves with nuclear weapons if they just said, no, we're keeping them.
Okay. Thank you for your comments here today. Great debate on it. We've done some full programs on this issue pertaining to Ukraine, and there is both the leadership of Ukraine as well as leadership of Russia that are pushing us toward the Great Reset, the New World Order, so to speak. One last call from Lexington, Kentucky, and Link, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to say a couple of things. One is there aren't any really communist countries left. There are only countries that are run by dictators. And that running by dictators is absolute opposite of what we want to do in our country with democracy and ruling by law of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
It might be much more important that we're able to follow the rules of the Constitution and our laws than it is to worry about what political person is at the front of the classroom.
Yeah, thank you. We are a constitutional republic, and we do and are to follow the rule of law here as our nation. And sadly, we do have those that are seeking to undermine that very rule of law. Our time is gone. Friends, thank you for listening today and all this week. We've got some wonderful programs coming up. Lord willing, next Tuesday, Alex Newman about a horrendous proposal before the World Health Organization to take control over declaring health emergencies all over the planet. Other topics as well. We hope you'll be listening. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming up. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.